الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولان العظيم. Again, just a quick revision on the ayat so that we remain focused. And just before that, we're just reading Hazrat Maulana Abu al-Hasan Ali Mia Rahmatullah Ali, a few lines which he has written with regard to this great and auspicious month of Ramadan. He speaks about the khanqas of before, long before. He says that before, the people, the Buzurganideen, were very much in anticipation for the month of Ramadan. The way they should wait for it, perhaps we don't wait for our wedding day, how they should wait for Ramadan. They should really look forward to it and have great anticipation. And he says, it's a great pity he hasn't found. He searched a lot. But that actually how they spend their nights and the time in the khanqas in those days. Of course, he saw his Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Rahim Raipuri Rahmatullah Ali, where there was, you can say, Maulana, 24 hours, you can say, Tilawat of Quran Sharif. One way he was busy with Tilawat of Quran Sharif. Not 24 hours, but just like almost all the time, where there wasn't no answering of any murid's letters, no correspondence, no meeting with anyone, nothing whatsoever, only tilawat of Quran Sharif. And he says the nights in these places, and Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, the night, like what you are called the nocturnal pursuits, the night pursuits, how these people should go into the night and what ibadah they should make of Allah tabaraka ta'ala, and how they should communicate with Allah ta'ala, du'as, etc., how they should communicate. So this is a very great and auspicious month Allah ta'ala has given us, and we haven't realized what this month really is. May Allah make it we realize and take the maximum benefit from this month, and may Allah in His infinite mercy accept it from us. So anyway, so this is the month that Allah, for this month Allah says that, oh my friends, the believers, and I wish good for you. So rozas have been made faraz for you. So it's a great gift from Allah Ta'ala. We shouldn't take it in any way. Allah give us tawfiq that we don't take it like a burden, that when is the month going to get finished, or that we're saying now already so much is gone and only little bit left. In other words, we just want to get it off our backs. That should not be the case at all. But if we know the value, how we should try and look forward to the month. And what is left also, little is left, let me make the best of it. Anything when there is little left, you want to make the best of it. And time, generally our whole lifetime is so little. Oh Allah, have mercy on us. When the time of maut, then a person will really realize. Rabbi, eyes of the Quran that at that time, oh Allah, give me a little more chance, give me a little respite. No matter how long a person lived, at that time he wants a little more time. So Allah have mercy on us, that Allah take us, Allah be happy with us, make us happy to go to Him, and we go happily. Otherwise, at that time also, a person realizes that now, my life, I didn't spend properly. So Ramadan also, may Allah make it that we get this realization, that I haven't spent my Ramadan also properly. And now I have to cover up, I've got still this few days, few hours, I have to really look after them. Not like normally also, towards the end of Ramadan, we become very lax. We feel, well, I've done my khatam finish, I've done this finish, and now I can take it easy, etc. But really, just like maut also, till the last moment. Ramadan also, so till the last moment. Allah give us tawfiq to try and maintain, take as much as we can. We have our natural limitations. We are human beings. We have to eat, we have to sleep, we have to see to those things. But besides that, the main thing, not to waste time. And in wasting time, one is just wasting time. But one is the stalking, and that is very, very bad. Where we just fall into other discussions and all those things. So Allah protect us from that. And with regard to this, the value of this time, and as it comes to an end, to value it even more, we see many of our Buzurgani Deen, when they came to, they did great, great service of deed, whole life. But as they come to the end, they say, we did nothing. And they're feeling sorry that we should have done something in our lives. So that feeling is a good feeling. And if a person feels towards the end, no, Alhamdulillah, Ramzan, I did everything. Where can we do everything? And Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali also writes that always try and compare our Ramzan with the previous Ramzan. Did I do a bit more? Have I improved? Or have I fallen back on things? So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we spend our time properly. And Allah says Himself, in one sense we can understand it, أَيَّامَ مَعْدُودَاتْ. One is we take it, it's like a burden, Allah says only a few days. But on the other hand, you really realize that this is a time when Allah is pouring down His rahmat. It's coming down in cascades, in waterfalls, it's just pouring down all the time. Du'as are being accepted. Tawbah is being accepted. Allah is setting people free from the fire of Jahannam. As we will say, left, right and center, people are just being set free from the fire of Jahannam. When all this is happening, so you only got a yama ma'durat. You just got a few days in order to take benefit from this. So don't waste time. Take whatever benefit we can. And from our side, one is we push ourselves more. We sleep less. We will feel mujahada, which is required. Yet. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. When you are finished with your other duties, then make Allah's ibadat in such a way of mufassirin in afratan, nasab, fansab, that you feel the burden on you. You feel that now. One is we just make one sajda, subhana rabbiyal ala. One time we read, three times we read. And one is we're reading seven times, nine times, 11 times. Now you feel it a bit. All the other ibadat also. Surahs, we read the shortest surahs. Wal asr, inna atayna. Namaz is made. And one, we read longer surahs, what we know. And we read them, now you're feeling it. So that is also required. But if we can't stretch to there also, at least let us not do the wrong things. How much we can do, let us do that even if we want to stay comfortable and take it easy. But the wrong things. Wasting time, and more than wasting time, we waste other people's time. And we get in this year, we get into gunas. We are talking in our environment, we are not out on the streets, maybe somebody is going to a stadium also for watch a soccer match or whatever else it may be, people may be going other places. But yeah, we are in the masjid. So yeah, in our context, let us not waste our time in other things. So let us realize, refresh in our mind again, that this is the month and we have come here for our islah. And islah is not just for 1 month, so it's finished now. When we will leave from here, we will close our bags, tie them up, whatever our bedding, and now we are gone. So we don't close the bag of Ramadan. And we don't tie it up now, it's finished now. Ramadan is finished now, we go back to our lives again. We have to see to all our other things again. No, we have to try. Allah give us the tawfiq which we're trying to cultivate in ourselves first, in all of us, that we make this that our islah and forever. And this islah only for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. That Allah must be happy. A thought came to mind, thought of sharing it also, that a lot of our ibadat is solely for Allah Ta'ala. That, for example, tasbih we read, du'as we make. Tasbih we read, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, all this. So to say, It's not for us, it's Allah's greatness. And other things we ask Allah Ta'ala in du'as is for our benefit. Oh Allah, give me good health. Oh Allah, I've got this problem, I've got that problem. So that is for us. Also, it's ibadat. Full 100% and a great ibadat which Allah loves. And Allah says, whatever your needs are, you must ask me. You don't have to go and ask anyone else. One nice little poem, the words I don't remember. But Allah says, you ask me and I won't tell anyone you came and asked me. Yeah, we ask somebody, that person goes and tell, this person came to me, I just made a story, I told him I can't help you, or I helped him so much or something. But Allah says, I won't tell anyone. But what is that Allah has kept of us? No matter what we ask, no matter how we put it also, sometimes, and that is also an important thing, just remember, yeah, that the du'as also we must make, and Allah give, it's only by the tawfiq of Allah, we have to ask also properly from Allah Ta'ala. For example, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written in Fazail Ramadan, there are those moments in time when whatever is asked, Allah gives that. So he says that many, especially women folk, mothers, they get very angry with their children. So angry they get, and they say they get, and they say they get, and they say, just carry on fighting amongst yourself. You are fighting so much, just carry on fighting, or whatever else. So he says there are those moments whenever whatever you say is accepted by Allah Ta'ala. And then we said, for example, may you die, Allah save us. You tell your little child, or bad words many times. Parents, especially the mothers, she says this. It applies to us also, to all. And if that was a moment of acceptance, and now the child has become what you told. And then you suffer the consequences now, whole life. Now there is no way out from there. So like this, there are those moments when du'as are just accepted. So so the du'a that we have to make also, we must try and think also. Commonly what it is said, one person just made du'a to Allah, Ya Allah, give me a horse. So one day he was sleeping and somebody brought a dead horse and put it by him. Now what's he going to do? Now he had an extra burden on his head. We ask for a car, now you get a car, somebody gives you a car without an engine, or anything else, a stolen car, somebody comes and gives you. Now the police come to you, they found the car by you, now you got a problem, so du'a also we have to ask carefully. Like for example, many of us, we might ask for a long life is good, but long life comes and all illnesses and sicknesses of old age. Now you're going to suffer. So how much more you're going to suffer? So du'as also have to be asked and with wisdom. And that also we can only ask Allah Ta'ala tawfiq. And that also when asking Allah Ta'ala, so much in our du'as there is bay adabi. Like for example, one buzurg was a genuine buzurg. So it wasn't a du'a, but what came out of his mouth, it rained. And then he says, on a very good occasion it rained. Like for example, the lands are just ready now. Rains are on very good time the rains came. So Allah Ta'ala, he was Allah's close friend. Allah reprimanded him immediately. Oh idiot, oh stupid person, did I ever send rain when it wasn't good? What we know, when is it good and when isn't it good? Allah knows how much rain, how much not to send, where to send, where not. Allah knows, and Allah knows. Allah's work is full of wisdom. There is no chance also of any of Allah's work that can be done without wisdom, without perfection, etc. We are weak. We can't understand. That's a different thing. It may be bad for me, but for the whole community it's good, but it's bad for me. Allah knows exactly. So even in our dua, Allah give us adab in dua also. Like our ulama have written in the dua kitabs that when we're making dua, all the adab, etc. And we should try and study the kitabs or to discuss everything. It's also not possible. We should try and learn so that we don't make any gustakhi by Allah. Sometimes when a person is desperate, how we ask somebody. And it might not be the correct approach. The few basic rules always are that we must first praise Allah Ta'ala, durood on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, make tawbah, istighfar, and then ask Allah whatever we want. So we should keep in mind that we must make that ibadat also, which is like only for Allah Ta'ala, that Allah gets happy. My share is not in there. And that is also, and then we ask for ourselves also, I want good health, I want this, I want that, all our things we ask also. But it must not be all the time we are only asking for ourselves. And we are not praising Allah Ta'ala. And the fact of the matter is, if we just praise Allah all the time, then also Allah will do everything for us. Without us asking, Allah will do everything for us. But Allah has taught us, you ask of me also. And how to ask, that also Allah Ta'ala has taught us. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali, he should say dua also, what we should keep in mind, mustn't be how we treat a waiter in a restaurant. That bring this, give me that, give me that. So we're telling Allah Ta'ala now. We shouldn't have that attitude that, Ya Allah, you give me this, you give me that, you give me that. No, no. Like, for example, we are bossing, na'uzu billah. And we are demanding from Allah, you give me this, you give. A beggar's attitude. Total beggar's, Ya Allah, I need this, Ya Allah, I need this. Ulama have written the word Allahumma, oh Allah, oh Allah. Allah loves it in dua. The more you are saying Allahumma, Allahumma, oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah, Allah loves that. You are like at the, so to say, at the feet of Allah, the feet of Allah, the feet of Allah, and you're begging, oh Allah, I want this, oh Allah, do this, oh Allah, do that. Allah loves that very greatly. And then again, one was that we say those things which are pleasing to Allah. That is the highest, that is the highest, that is the highest. But then we ask our needs also. And don't forget also, ask for our fellow friends also. As we read, like we feel, I've got jealousy for a certain person. Or I think I'm better than somebody. Then particularly make dua for those people. By that, that enmity will go away, that jealousy will go away, that superior feeling you have got, that will go away also, and it will create love, and it will create understanding and muhabbat between. So make dua, and make dua for those that we love, we will make dua for our family, but also think, aren't we perhaps forgetting? Like we will tell, for example, we tell the wife, you must make dua. She says, yes, I'll make. She tells the husband, but did we really make dua for the wife? Did we really make dua for our children? We tell our children they must make dua, but do they really? Mufti Sayyid Palanpuri, Damat Barakatuh, said that this we just tell one another, make dua. He says nobody makes dua. We think for ourselves, do we really make dua? I remember Qari Abi Abdul Hamid Sahib, who was the Imam of Kirk Street. He's passed away, Allah give him high stages. He, whenever you should tell him to make dua, immediately, Yaghfirullah lana wa lakum. Yaghfirullah lakum. So at least that one dua is made. We're going for Hajj. Every person we're meeting, they are telling us to make dua. Now think for ourselves, did we really make dua? Even just so much that, Ya Allah, all those people who told me to make dua, they have to accept all their duas. Perhaps we forget. In dua, we are very, very weak. Our own personal matters also. Usually we resort to azbab very quick. We go to azbab. No problem, azbab we must use. But dua, musabbibul azbab, the one who even the azbab, Allah is the creator of the azbab also. And the solution, actual solution is also so only not in that azbab. It is but Allah Ta'ala. For example, we have the basket here. Now how many of us first are making dua for the duas in the basket? Perhaps we have put our own duas also in. But are we making dua? We're forgetting. every day. When we make collective dua also, we should make dua for the for all this, whoever has sent their request. In fact, one dua, a person from America phoned, and he asked, have you still got that system of putting the dua papers? And he said, please put my dua in. Ladies are phoning and they saying that our dua, that system is there, because it's not being mentioned anywhere. So usually, and another thing we are also very, very weak in, I speak about myself, that what we find, when we had a problem or we wanted something to be done, when it gets done, that problem is gone, do we make shukar to Allah Ta'ala? That also is a thing that we just forget. Sometimes, just say you got hurt on your finger. When it was there, then you put a big bandage also, all can see it also. And you tell all, I got hurt, this happened, that happened, and please make dua also. When it gets better, then they ask you, how's your finger now? What finger are you talking about? Well, so much we forget that we had that problem. In the Quran Sharif, it comes, when people got problems, the way they beg Allah. When the problem is gone, they, as if it never existed also. No shukr to Allah Ta'ala. And even amongst ourselves, we ask one another, this is also amongst adab, that if somebody tells you to do some work, when the work is done, then inform him. If it didn't get done, also inform him. Then he knows now, must tell somebody else, or something else has to be done, Now he's sitting there, that it's done, and it's not done. So in the same way, when we tell somebody also for dua, the person made, then go back to the person and tell him, Alhamdulillah, you made dua, Allah Ta'ala solved my problem. For that person, he should take it, only Allah's fazal. Who am I and what are my duas? It's Allah's kindness. So anyway, these few points also, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we, for our islah, that we bring it into our lives, inshallah. So that sincerity, from there we went on to this direction, that our islah, we must be sincere, we want our islah and for Allah's pleasure. Not that now my islah is made, now I'm going to get khilafat. Now I'm going to get, make majlis, I'm going to get murids now, and people are going to come to me, not for that purpose. And the purpose of the islah, that Allah must be happy with me. And really every day, if on our own, whenever, we can speak to Allah Ta'ala, Ya Allah, I'm making the object of my life, amongst many other objects also, one of them, my islah. That Ya Allah, I'm going to work in my life, in life, to make my islah. And now in Ramadan, stress it more. In this Ramadan, Ya Allah, I'm going to make my utmost effort that my islah must be done completely and fully and permanently. If we really do that, and also as ulama have written, how much we are sincere in our intention, so much our dua will also come. Think for ourselves, how much are we making dua for our islah? How much are we making dua for our tawbah? Or islah of our family members, our friends, as they share for his murids, is he making dua for them? The murids, are they making dua for one another? So all of us, and for the sheikh also. So, and everyone, we need our islah, and it has to make taraqqi. It has to go onwards all the time, till maut overtakes us. Till before maut, nobody has got any guarantee and can be safe whatsoever. Sheikh Abdullah Andalusi, Rahmatullah Ali, very, very great Sheikh. What great Hazrat Shibli, Rahmatullah Ali, his murid, who are the great, great people. But one time, just a little, and also from this little instance, we can take other lessons also. That he was going with his murids, and they wanted to make asr namaz in a place. Those people refused to give them water. Then it came in his heart that these people are Christians, other people here, Jews, whoever they are worshipping Isa al-Islam, they are on batil, they are in shirk. Just that lowness came into him. Now that caused a problem later. Many times the problem actually we got is not the problem. The problem came before that somewhere else. So now when he went in front somewhere, they found a well, they're taking water, they're making wudu, his eyes fell on a girl. And the love of that girl came into his heart. and now he wanted to marry her. The story is long. The father said that you can only marry her if you become a Christian, for which also he was prepared. And then he said, I can only be satisfied that you will remain on Christianity, that if you look after the pigs and that. For that also he became ready. So where a person goes. And for 1 year this carried on, but his murids were sincere. They had great love. They had great love for the Sheikh. They kept on making dua, kept on making dua, and by the duas of the murids, Allah made fazal. After 1 year, when they went and visit him, then alhamdulillah, he came back, he made husal, and he accepted Islam, and Allah put him back where on the position he was. So nobody can be safe at all. The famous story of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, right till the last moment, he says, not yet, until my ruh, shaitan is telling him, you got saved from me. So we also have to be very, very careful all the time. So we have to make a lot of du'as also for our family members, for ourselves, have that concern for the whole ummah. Today we know, unfortunately, the amount of people who are openly saying that I'm no more a Muslim. This was a thing perhaps unheard of before, to the extent that it is going now. And we are being exploited by the other non-Muslims. And this is an attack and assault not only on the Muslims. Atheists are working across the board that nobody must believe in any religion, whether it's Christianity, Hinduism, whatever. But we worried about ourselves. They don't want us to believe in Allah Ta'ala, in our deen. And if they are not successful, let us also see that how much they did not perhaps make us open, that we tell that we are not Muslims, but how our lives, what if our lives become? What does our life revolve around? Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to protect ourselves, and this is the ideal month, the month of Ramadan. For du'as also, for tawbah, istighfar also, and for our families also. So we discussed that, and that this month is the ideal month. Rozas are the ideal thing. Quran Sharif is the ideal. Sharif is the ideal. Kitab Allah has given us for our Islam. Everything is just 100%. Then Allah gave us tawfiq. We all get together. We sit here. We discuss these points so that it comes more into us. It remains fresh in our minds. This is also Allah's great ni'mat that He has given us this tawfiq. And all brothers, what sacrifices they have made. From where our responsibilities is, our duties at home. But we come and we have freed ourselves. So let us take it very seriously. And one thing, again, just by on the way, that our cell phones, tikaf really means seclusion. And the cell phone doesn't allow you to be secluded. It was cut off from everything. Like many masjids, especially those things are here in our masjids also. From Pakistan, we saw it first. That now contact with the creation is closed now. They switch off your cell phone. Now contact with the Creator. That is for namaz time. But when we are here and we have come for our Islam, it should be our full time. That we don't. If we are keeping our phones, switch them off completely. When we need it, we make a call or whatever. But where, as far as possible, the seclusion, what is the spirit of etikaf. Therefore, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, should totally dislike and even send away people who used to talk in the Khanqah. Where they were, and Hazrat had his people to check how the prayer, everyone in the Khanqah, whether they're doing their work on time, they're doing everything, or what are they misbehaving, or what is happening. So anyone who would be found, and is now, they see that this person is like talking with everyone, he should get reported, and then Hazrat should tell him to leave the Khanqah. So this talking, and today it is with the cell phone. And other places we heard, hopefully not here, perhaps here also, that what other terrible things also, and especially the last Ashara, and then other the wrong things also, and Shaitan works even harder. And the rebellious Shayateen are chained, but the others, and our nafs that has become such a obedient student of Shaitan, Nafs himself is nafs-e ammara. If till we don't make it lawwama, mutma'inna, we don't work in that direction, it's there to tell us all the time that to do wrong, and do wrong, and do wrong, and to do evil. That also we can see how much have we worked on our nafs. Whether it has become mutma'inna, now it doesn't really tell us to make guna. Or is it still telling us lot wrong things? Putting lot wrong ideas in our mind. If that is the case, then it's still at lawwama. That we haven't moved from there still. And our nafs is just telling us that we haven't made any progress as yet to come to lawwama and then inshallah mutma'inna. And then of course Allah bless us out of His kindness with radiyah, maradiyah. So then we discussed those few things. And then with regard to roza, that we keep a perfect roza, a proper roza. And that also we discussed as far as the tongue is concerned. And then yesterday a bit more one particular thing about ghibat, which is also very common, and Allah protect us. And it's a terrible sin, which unfortunately we haven't understood the gravity of the sin. All sins are terrible. Anything that displeases Allah Ta'ala, such a great, great, great benefactor, such a kind being who gave us our existence. And when He gave us, He didn't make us, first of all, He gave us existence. And then He made us human beings. Allah could make us a toilet bed, where all the filth and dirt, He could make us into some other, anything He wanted to. Then He gave us life. He made us human beings. What if we were made a Hindu, a Christian, or any fire worshipper, worshipping some trees? Allah so kind, He gave us Iman. And most of us are such that we didn't really make any sacrifice. We were born in Muslim homes. Those who are reversed, they also, it's only Allah's fadl that they got the tawfiq of Iman. But that also is a big sacrifice. Your whole family, many cases, your whole environment, all the other people, they're not Muslims. It's not easy for us. We are living in an environment of Islam and Muslims. Those many people, students also who study, and Ramzan they go home. Now they're going to an environment where it's only one person in the house, one person in a community who's a Muslim. Now he wants halal, that is a problem. Other people can't understand why you are fasting, why you're not eating, etc. And he may be still, there are many young people, many young girls in our madrasas, wherever girls' madrasas are, this holiday period, they find it very difficult. And arrangements are made for them. But we have to appreciate where Allah gave us this Islam, and if we are in an Islamic environment where Ramadan, everyone is just moving towards Ramadan. For them, it's something very, very different. So Allah give us tawfiq to appreciate this. And it's also a thing we just took for granted. When we wake up in the morning, how many of us really think, Ya Allah, still my legs are in order, die in order. My head is on order, my heart is in order. Otherwise, I could be waking up in the hospital. What in our homes if we are, or even here. So may Allah protect us all. If some crooks had got in at night, what trauma and what things a person will go through. Many other things. We get some bad news. Maybe close family. Anyone's news. Whatever is happening in Syria, in Burma, it should be hurting us. We should have that feeling that what is this happening? Palestine, what things we are happening? So this, that we have got this afiyat and Allah has given us this month of Ramadan, we must appreciate it. And we don't know whether we're going to see the next Ramadan. And in what condition will we see the next Ramadan? So let us say make the maximum. Anyway, then we spoke about the tongue and about backbiting and about the eyes. So one, what we did discuss, that in our namaz, let us think also, myself also, all of us, that am I trying to keep my eyes on the right places? And am I trying to keep my eyes open? That when I'm in namaz, my eyes must be open. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say that when we listen to bayan, we should also listen with our eyes open. Sometimes, though you don't hear through your eyes, but the eyes say that this person is gone somewhere else now. It's Ramzan, the extra, we do understand it happens like that, but we should try, and Hazrat also used to stress a lot, that try and make eye contact also. Because from the eyes also, Hazrat says, we have to be passing on a lot of things. And the listener has to be taking a lot of things from the eyes. So all these things we have to be taking, and it has to be given also. And we listen with our ears, so that we should listen properly. So in a namaz, our eyes open or not, are we paying any attention? Yesterday we spoke, it's about 24 hours till now. If we think that my namaz now, I must keep my eyes open, I must concentrate, look only at the places where I'm supposed to look in namaz, and am I doing it or not? Otherwise, our eyes wander in namaz also. And when the eyes wander, the thoughts wander also. And when the thoughts wander, then we are no more in namaz. Physically, bodily, we are there. It is like, for example, a businessman, he is doing some business, he brought his attache, his bag, and he left it here, that I'm just going to the toilet, and I'll just be leaving my bag. So it mustn't be, we just came to the masjid, we leave our body here, and our thoughts are still gone back again. Now we are doing this business, we're doing that business, we just left our body here. And the same thing with our i'tikaf, our staying here for the month or so. It mustn't be our body we left here. The body now must be looked after, it must be fed, and the other things must be done, laundry must be done, this must be done. But our thoughts are gone somewhere else. In that case, how are we going to benefit? We have to be here. So on this namaz also, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. With regard to the eyes also, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, in his beautiful way, Hazrat should explain that we must cast our eyes down. And Allah said, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ مِنْ تَبْعِيدِيَا some of your gazes. You don't have to be looking down all the time. Some of your gaze. For the training period, we should try to be looking down all the time. And once we have got control of the eyes, now if you don't look, your eyes now won't look at wrong things and won't look with the wrong intention. But the training period, even from permissible things, we should try and keep gazes down. So anyway, those looks which are haram from there. If you are at a place where, like here in the masjid, you don't expect any woman here or anything, no problem, you can be looking around. But training period, here also we should try and avoid that also. So. But otherwise, you can look around. So it is some of our gazes, Allah said, not all your gazes. And that some also are at the time when you are in danger, that your eyes will fall. And Hazrat explained that this is also Allah's great favor upon us. We take it like a burden. Now we are prohibited to look freely wherever we want to. We go in the shops or banks or airports and these places that we are prohibited to look freely. Allah's great favor. And Hazrat should say that Allah has kept your izzat in this. That if you look around, where it can lead you to? Due to. And Allah cut it from the root. That if you don't look, the next things won't happen. Whatever else happens after that. So that you look after your gazes. Then also Hazrat said that Allah made it so easy that the eyes are dangerous. They are very, very valuable, and you look at your father with a gaze of respect and honor, your mother, sawab of one hajj. Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked, if we look so many times sawab of hajj, as many times as we see, so what, the eye, how valuable it is if we use it. The tongue, you use it for right, how valuable. Use it for wrong, how terrible. So the same thing with the eyes also. Use it to see the right things, very, very valuable. You look at your parent, you look at your love wife, what love and what feeling and that, feeling and that, feeling and that. Allah is happy with that. And you look at another woman, then that is totally completely opposite. So the eyes are very valuable also. But when wrong comes, Allah made it so easy, to control your eyes that He gave us our eyelids. And just at the flick of a thought, you can drop your eyelids. Like that, they do flicker all the time, and they have to flicker. Optically, lot of reasons are given why they have to flicker. And that also, how many ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. There are those people who have that bimari, that sickness, that this wetness of the eyes, it gets dry. Like we can understand if your mouth gets dry and your tongue becomes like stiff. Now you haven't like got control on your tongue also. Now if the eye, that wetness doesn't remain, then it's a big problem for that person. Now people's eyelids, there are some people with that bimari, that illness, that the eyelid doesn't flick all the time. These are like wipers that are working all the time. And any little dirt it clears it up also. And the eye, they have to flick all the time. But some people, it just doesn't flick, the eye just stays open. That is also, it's a bimari, illness. For that, who of us make shukr? We didn't even know of it. So many other ni'mats of Allah, tabaraka ta'ala. We are all here, inshallah. None of us have got a toothache. If we have a toothache, then it's a big problem. But like this, do we ever make shukr? No toothache. No problem, my mouth, my teeth are all right. But when it does come, Allah protect us. And if it comes, and it usually comes middle of the night, and there is nobody to help you at that time. Now you are alone, and you are sitting with your toothache at that time. So, all Allah, so many ni'mat. So Hazrat should say, just at the flick of a thought, you can drop your eyelids. And now you can't see. So Hazrat says, very beautiful. Wo saamne aaye. Hum nabina hoge. That when think what you did not have to see, it came in front and you became blind. You dropped your eyelids. Wo saamne se hat gaye, hum bina hoge. And once they have moved away, you are driving in your car. Not driving, the driver has got other rules, Hazrat explained. But as passengers, we don't have to be looking everywhere. But now somebody came there and dressed a bit like that. And it's a bit. Now, just control your eyes. Look down, close your eyes. You estimate sincerely that now it's gone. Then you open your eyes again, that now that whatever I did not have to see, now that is gone. So Allah Tabarakuta'ala has given us this. And Hazrat said that Allah, in Hazrat's beautiful way, that Allah did not put a button to close the eyelids under the knee. Now you have to bend down and press that button, then your eyelids will come down. No, Allah made it so easy. Just you think, I must close my eyes. And your eyes are closed. And when you want to, then you open them again when you think it's safe. So Allah has made the means for it, that we can close it whenever we want to. And so in namaz, in Quran Sharif, when we are reading, also focus on what? When we are looking inside and reading, just for that is separate sawab. To look at the Quran Sharif is separate sawab. So use our eyes for all those good things. And when we're reading kitab also, if we're reading, and Allah give us tawfiq, we all, if we have some spare time, really we don't get time in Ramadan. But if you have, use it also to read some good kitab, and there are plenty, and especially in Ramadan, some kitab on Ramadan. So our eyes also, train ourselves in this month. So that we can gain, as we said, may Allah give us all the tawfiq. If we can learn to control the tongue in Ramadan, we got freedom from what musibats? Untold musibats, we got freedom. Which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, on account of the tongue and on account of the private part, people will be going to Jahannam. And if we learn to control it, inshallah, we can get safe from Jahannam. The same thing with the eyes. If we see wrong things, etc., and today with the cell phone again, because it is so common, the cell phone, and a person, what and what he's looking at. Where and where, what items come on the phone. So a person has to be very, very careful. So if we learn to control it during this month, inshallah, for the rest of our lives, Allah Ta'ala will make it easy for us, and we will feel the difference. Like, there are many people, they have some problem, a knee problem, back problem, or any other thing. They went for an operation, it was successful, and then when you ask them, how's it now? Alhamdulillah, the pain is gone. Really, if the spiritual diseases of ours, of the tongue which is out of control, we get it in control, and the eyes which are also out of control, and we don't realize this also. One time when Hazrat had come, we were in Lanesia with Hazrat, we were waiting at one alim's house outside, and in the distance, far away, there was movement. Now we don't know, we have to control our eyes, we never thought of it. So he looked that way, just at some movement. So Hazrat reprimanded me severely. At that time I hadn't become still bayat also with Hazrat, but he's got that in him, that the eyes must be controlled. He said, what are you looking at there? Why must you look there? So like this, yeah, that our eyes are just, and we don't realize. Again the same ghaflat story, we don't realize that my eyes are out of control. We are quite happy that I don't look at haram. But if we really, when this disease will open, like for example, a person, he's got problems with his kidneys or even his sugar, till you are not aware of it or anything like that, you're carrying on normal. When you went for a test, oh, they say you're reading so high, you have to be on dialysis, this has to be done, you have to go, you have to be in ICU. But till then you don't know, you were in ghaflat. And the sugar bimari, sugar is such a bimari. One friend of ours, he ate sugar, and then you don't have feeling in your body, it's such pain, you don't just feel it. People get heart attacks and they are not aware when your sugar is at that acute levels. He went for a shower and boiling water, like hot water came, fell on his leg, and he didn't feel it, but it burned him so bad that eventually he had to have that leg amputated. But he did not even feel the heat of that water. So like that, we also we are involved in some type or the other type of, but we're not aware of it. We thinking, I'm all right, I'm going all right. One dua also we should make, Ya Allah, open my faults to me. And even better, sometimes this faults of us, they open, they depress us also. You were so bad, Ya Allah, you just removed it. And you just remove this faults from me. All in my akhlaq, how I speak to, my eating habits may be offending so many people. All my other things that I do in the house, when I go to use the bathroom, it might be offending my wife. I leave it in a bad condition. I feel I'm the big boss of the house. I can do just as I want to, yeah. Take off my clothes, throw them anywhere. The towel, after using it, throw it anywhere. The basin, I took out all my balgam from my throat. I didn't clean the basin, and the other mess is left somewhere, and I don't worry. Well, she's my wife, she must tolerate it, and she must clean it. That's not how we are supposed to be. So how many things we must be doing that we don't realize it? So if we come to realize, then we'll get that worry of correcting ourselves. So Allah give us that tawfiq. Otherwise we just come, I am alright, I'm just going for Islah. So just by more, we just, it's a talking thing that I'm just going for my Islah. But really, I'm all right. I know I'm all right. I'm Maulana. I give the talk. So I'm all right. I don't have to worry about anything, about anyone. I'm all right. But if we come to realize, I'm very far from being all right. May Allah give us this understanding. Give that fikr of our Islah. And such a person, Allah moves him up. And he keeps on moving, and let us keep on moving till maut. Not take rest till maut. And that is what is called istiqamah, to be keep on moving. And our lives are short comparatively, but for us also it's a long time. May Allah, like a person, one friend of ours is telling me, he got ill at night, somewhere middle of the night. And he says that sun was just not rising that night. He says, now waiting here, waiting there, this has to be done. He says, the morning is just not coming. And finally, when Qiyamah will come, and the night will be so long, Allah only knows what will be the condition. Anyway, Allah Ta'ala guide us to righteousness, accept us for His deen in our Islam. When we learn to control our tongue, our eyes also, all the other parts we will discuss slowly, inshallah. May Allah give us tawfiq.